Welcome to Women Kicking Glass, the only radio show on OC Talk Radio dedicated to empowering women to be the best leaders they can be in any endeavor they choose. Patty Grimm is our host and interviews top women in a variety of fields to help women grow, learn, and lean in together. Patty has over 25 years of experience in primarily male-dominated fields in senior-level management positions. Patty is the owner of Advantage Training Limited, an organizational leadership team training company. She recently released her new book for women called Quiet Women Never Changed History. Be strong, stand out, and stand up. With the subtitle, Let's Go Kick Some Glass.
All right, let's go do it right now with Patty Grimm.
Hey, thanks, Paul. And we've got just an absolutely incredible guest with us today, Shauna Fleming. She not only is kicking glass today, she started kicking glass when she was a young girl at the age of 15. So in 2004, Shauna was just 15 years old, and she started an initiative at her high school to collect 1 million letters to send to people in the U.S. military. She called the project A Million Thanks. And what started out as a community service project for school turned into a national nonprofit. And I actually remember seeing this on the news when I was in Seattle and seeing that when this project actually started. I actually remember seeing this on the news. Shauna actually reached her goal in just 6 months. And presented the 1 millionth letter to President Bush in the Oval Office at the White House. Now, 13 years later, the organization has expanded to three really important missions that we all can help with. One, sending thank you letters to the military who are at active duty, whether they're in overseas or whether they're still here back in the United States. So the first one is sending letters to the military. The second is granting wishes for injured veterans. And the third is providing higher education scholarships for the children of fallen military families. I mean, just an absolutely incredible mission. She's traveled across the United States speaking to groups such as about the power of one, what you can do as one individual to make a difference in the life of a military person or their family. She published a book chronicling her journey at the White House to becoming a Department of Defense spokesperson, partnering with General Motors, Southwest Airlines, people like Jessica Simpson, and being interviewed on various media like this over 300 times. She continues her work with 1 million thanks, but she started to pursue her career and turned it into a career in marketing, and she's now the director of marketing of Juice It Up, a franchise of 90 smoothie and raw juice bars on the West Coast. Like myself, Shauna loves to travel the world. I've traveled the world multiple times, mostly for work, but I had a few fun times. But they do live in Newport Beach, California, and not far from where I live in Dana Point. So thanks for joining us today, Shauna.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
What an incredible thing you started. What inspired you or led you to start a campaign this big at 15 years old, sitting at your home? What inspired you?
Yeah, you know, I was, it was a couple years after 9/11, and of course we all remember what that aftermath looked like, and it was in the news, you know, day in and day out, and, you know, just a lot going on with our military, what's going on overseas, and I was in high school at the time. I just started my freshman year of high school, and, you know, was just being exposed to this, and kind of simultaneously, I found out that my high school required community service hours, as most high schools do now. In order to graduate. And so, you know, they provided a list of various opportunities, you know, beach cleanups and homeless shelters and a variety of different things like that. But none of them really spoke to me. None of them really tugged at my heartstrings. And I'm a big believer that, you know, you shouldn't, if you're going to go out and volunteer and make a difference, it shouldn't be because you have to or you're required to. It should be, you know, because you have a passion for it and you're connected to it. And so, kind of seeing what was going on in the news, I decided that I would start an initiative of my own. And it really was meant to be just a small community service project with my high school in the greater Orange County area. And so, you know, not really knowing what or how to do this, I just decided to do it. And I figured that the details would come later, which is not always the best way to prepare for things. But in this case, it worked out. And so I started A Million Thanks as a community service project with my high school. And, you know, I remember sitting, laying in bed one night, and I went into my dad's office, and my dad's a big time entrepreneur and is very active in the community with his businesses and giving back and helping others. And, you know, I always run my ideas by him. I think he's what kind of gave me the marketing bug. And I said, you know what, I want to collect these letters, but what do you think I should do? How many do you think I should collect? And he goes, not even really paying attention. He must have been distracted. And he goes, ah, why don't you collect a million? So I go, okay, right, well, I guess that's a pretty good number. it really just started from there. And I had no idea that it would get as big as it did.
And last as long. I mean, something that started, you know, years ago is still going strong. And you said a couple things I think are really important for the audience to keep in mind is, you know, finding your passion, something that you really love doing, whether that be your career or the community service you do, is finding something that you love to do, because you're going to be more effective, you're going to be able to contribute more, you're going to find yourself doing more than you ever thought you did because you're passionate about it. And there's actually a couple of quotes on the wall here in the radio studio that say, you know, love what you do and do what you love, which is, yeah. I've always, when I talk to kids or teenage groups, I say, you know, figure out what your passion is and make that your vocation, because do what you love and the money will follow. So it's incredible.
Absolutely.
That you found that as a passion project. So how did you execute such a big project at 13 or 15 years old and then turn it into a very successful, longstanding nonprofit?
You know, I had a great community around me. You know, between my family, everybody in my family was involved. Obviously, my parents, my grandparents even became involved. People at my high school became involved. Local community and business, you know, kind of got to know what I was doing and became involved. And so it was really a support network around me that helped execute this. I had no idea what I was doing. And, you know, I got approval from my high school that would be the hub, the location that all the letters would come into. And so once I put the word out there, at the kickoff ceremony that we had at my high school, I got, you know, in front of all the students and all the teachers and all the faculty, and I said, you know, I want to collect a million thank you letters for our troops, and I would love your help and your support in it. And unbeknownst to me, my dad had sent out a press release. Again, one of the great things that my dad is so phenomenal at. Mm-hmm. And so he sent out a press release, and I see in the back of the gym about five or six cameras, large cameras.
Wow.
In the back of the gym. And, you know, I just kind of tried to ignore it. And afterwards, I found out that it was, you know, the local, the local LA stations that had come out to cover the launch of this project. And, you know, media had a powerful impact on the success of A Million Thanks. And, you know, between that and word of mouth, about 3 weeks after I launched the organization, or at that time the campaign, I actually did my first national national television interview on Fox. Mm-hmm. And that just really, really sent it launching. And it was really a snowball effect from there. So, you know, that was the first step in being able to even collect the amount of letters that we were able to collect was, mm-hmm. you know, the media got the word out. So, you know, of course, then my high school is receiving thousands upon thousands of letters a day that are stored in unused classrooms and closets and wherever else we can find room. And so I decided, well, you know, we're going to need some help here. And so that was the point to, you know, that I reached out to the students and I said, if you would like to get community service hours, you know, please come help. And we called them sorting parties on Saturdays. And we would buy pizza and everybody would come in and open all the boxes of mail and count all the letters and package them up. And, you know, we had a really great process. But then I started to realize, well, shoot, now I actually have to send them somewhere.
Yeah, where are we going to send them?
Yeah. And so my original goal was to take them down to Camp Pendleton and some of the local bases in Southern California and see if they could send them overseas. But at the same time, we started getting emails in to the website that I had set up of family and friends of military saying, I heard about your organization. My son's overseas. My cousin's overseas. My best friend's overseas. Here's their address. Will you send them mail? And so ever since then, that's been how we've distributed automated all the mail is we send a box of about 1,000 letters to a specific individual serving somewhere around the world, and they will then distribute that throughout their unit. So we quickly figured out the most efficient and effective way to get these letters overseas, and that's the way it's remained ever since.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And what's great about it, and one of the things I often talk about, is about the need to raise strong, brave girls that have courage to do things like you did. And so it sounds like your parents really encouraged you to take this to such a high level. How did your parents really encourage you to be that brave person who just figured all this stuff out?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it was kind of inborn. And from a very young age, you know, my mom just called me the most strong-willed child that she ever encountered, which was, you know, a blessing and a curse, I suppose. And so, you know, I think a lot of it for me was just my drive that I had, but a lot of it was my parents and, you know, my dad having the background of, you know, starting and opening several businesses and kind of having that creative mindset and always just getting out there. And, you know, the fact that they instilled from a young age that, you know, it's important to serve others. We're here mm-hmm. on earth to serve mm-hmm. other people and to help other people. I think kind of the combination of all those things really kept me going. And, you know, there were definitely times where I thought, oh my gosh, you know, is this worth it? It's a lot of work. As the organization started to grow, I traveled more and I missed about 35% of my sophomore year of high school and into my junior year because I was traveling so frequently.
Yeah.
You know, it became difficult, and there were a lot of times that I thought, oh, wouldn't it just be better to be a normal high school student instead of traveling for weeks on end and, you know, be able to go to my high school dances.
Yeah, go to basketball games and football games and just, yeah. So why did you decide to change or expand the mission from just writing letters? You know, you collected 1 million letters in 6 months. That's incredible. But why did you decide to expand the mission from just from writing letters to also include now granting wishes and your two other, you have two other missions, granting wishes
yeah.
and funding a scholarship for a child whose parents have been killed in the military? So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I actually, you know, from all of my various travels and getting to meet, you know, military all across the country and their families, and of course, as the war kind of went on and it kind of waxed and waned, I really started to notice the effects on our military when they would come back home from a deployment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously there's the physical injuries. So many of them have psychological injuries that, you know, can't be seen on the outside but are just as dramatic. And, you know, I really wanted to make sure that we were supporting our military all the way around. And so, you know, as the years went on, several years into the organization, I decided that I wanted to kind of to make 1 million thanks all-encompassing for military support.
Right.
You know, to be able to support them when they come back home and their families. And so I decided to add the other two missions. So we started out with send a letter. Now we have grant a wish and fund a scholar. And so, you know, these are two really important aspects of the organization that we're continuing to grow. And there's such a strong need for because of what happens when they come home. So, you know, we've granted dozens of wishes, everything from the ultimate NASCAR experience to a family vacation to, you know, fitting a home with certain wheelchair accessibilities, things like that. And so we're really proud to be able to do that. And then as well as, you know, a lot of the children of military who mm-hmm. Were killed in action. You know, they're growing up too, and we want to make sure that we're supporting them, and so we're granting scholarships, higher education scholarships for those students who you know, really want to excel in their academics and in their careers, and so, you know, we'd like to position ourselves as a one stop shop for military support.
That's great. We had on National Women Day, we had Jody Greer on our show, who joined the Marines 4 days after high school and served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and she was actually the intelligence officer for General Flynn at one point in time. And, you know, she told the story. She was on the radio show. She actually started a group called Women Warriors, which supports women warriors who are coming back from overseas and helping them with that transition they need to make, whether they've been injured or not, or just the, like you said, the emotional part of coming back after being overseas, especially being in a war. And she's just an incredible young woman, but she talked about how hard it was for her when she came back from the service to all of a sudden be kind of sitting here, and she was working as a waitress in a bar, and, you know, she went from advising General Flynn on where to bomb, where not to bomb, or where danger might be, to serving chicken Alfredo to somebody at a bar. And she was just like, you know, how did I get here? So it was a hard transition even for her. So her organization helps the women warriors out there. And then my husband and I actually volunteer quite a bit for the Dana Point 5th Marine Support Group. And we just had, I saw on your website that you have a charity golf tournament that you put on. We just finished it a couple weeks ago, being at the combat golf tournament in Mission Viejo for the military. And my husband and I always get the beer hole. So we sit and have a beautiful day sitting outside of one of the holes, and when the guys come by, we pour them a beer and we chit-chat with them a little bit and thank them for their service and send them on to play golf. But part of what the Dana Point 5th Marine and Regiment Support Group does is we do baby showers for the women who are pregnant and have kids, especially when their spouses are overseas, Christmas parties for the kids. Last December in the absolute pouring rain, we had this huge Christmas party with 460 people who had come back from overseas and their families. And the kids walked out with bags full of clothes. We had Quiksilver donated truckloads of shoes, clothes, shorts, flip-flops, all this stuff. And the funny thing, and we served them lunch and had a wonderful day in Santa Claus, and they kept coming up and saying, "Are you sure I can have this? Is this okay?" And, you know, "Thank you, ma'am, for doing this," or "Thank you, sir." And we're like, "Oh, my gosh, thank you."
Yeah, absolutely.
For what you do.
Incredible.
So what's the response been from the military so far?
Oh, my gosh. You know, that's the one thing that's really kept this going is getting the response from the military. I mean, I remember from very, very early on, we would get phone calls and emails and, you know, handwritten letters from military saying, "Thank you so much for sending this box of mail. You have no idea what it means." I mean, the amount of morale boost that provides is absolutely incredible. And we would never know being on this side. I mean, unless you're in the military and going through that, you truly have no idea what that's like. And so, you know, I had a soldier recently tell me that he would rather get mail from complete strangers than food on a daily basis. So, I mean, that just can show you the power and the impact of, you know, letters from, I mean, actually complete strangers. You know, we have schools and churches and, you know, other organizations and businesses that all send in letters. And our military gets to feel that and experience that from all across the United States and truly all across the world. I mean, we've gotten letters from several European countries, South America, countries in Asia that will send letters to our military thanking them for, you know, the protection that they provide worldwide. And, you know, I think that speaks volumes about our military.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. When you say, you know, I can't imagine you getting these letters back and that you don't end up with a box of tissues and crying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're either crying or you're laughing hysterically because, you know, some of the things that the kids write are just, you know, too precious.
Too precious. So when is your golf tournament? Is it coming up or is it already?
Our golf tournament is actually on October 6th. And this is our second annual one. We started out with a bang last year. It's actually on Camp Pendleton's golf course in San Diego. A lot of people don't realize that Camp Pendleton has its own golf course, but it's a beautiful course.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that's unique to two things that's unique to this golf tournament is that if you purchase a foursome, if you'd like to do a foursome, you actually bring three golfers, and your fourth golfer is a member of the Wounded Warrior Battalion. So you get to be really, truly amongst our military, which is really special. And then the other thing that we do that's really unique is, you know, we like to be very transparent where people's donation dollars are going. And so at the tournament, at the evening program, we will actually be granting a wish and a scholarship live at the event. So people can see that the money raised that day is going to this specific injured veteran's wish and, you know, this specific student's college scholarship. And so that's something that we're really proud of. And so we're honored to be able to have that tournament on Camp Pendleton and to have the support of anybody who would like to participate.
That's great. So You know, this whole experience you had in terms of starting this nonprofit or starting this project and turning it into a nonprofit organization, how does that impact or affect you today, who you are today?
Oh, it's absolutely changed my life. I mean, obviously on the emotional and psychological levels, I mean, it's truly just made me more cognizant and aware of, what this country has gone through the last, several hundred years and gaining our freedom and what our military has done for us, and just being able to see the ins and the outs of that, because, I don't have any military background or experience. Nobody in my family, aside from my grandfathers, are in the military. So I had nobody close in my life that I knew that was in the military. And so I really got to see, firsthand almost what that was like to be in a military family, and to experience that. And so that was very life-changing for me. And of course, I think that really led to where I am today, the trajectory that my life has gone in terms of my career and where the things that I've decided to be involved in and what I, what I do on a daily basis. I mean, it's really just impacted every area of my life that I don't think would have had, nearly as much of an impact had I not started this and gone through with it.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. So what's your involvement with the Million Thanks today?
So I am, I'm kind of an advisor at this point. My husband actually is the executive director. He is the one that runs the organization full time. And I'm so honored to have him, do that because
yeah.
He's good at so many things that I am not good at in terms of, running the organization. And so he really leads the vision, of it and really sets our goals for the year and what we want to accomplish. And, he is very much more operationally focused, and I still love the marketing aspect. So I kind of come in on an advisory level and say, hey, let's, think about doing this, or let's do this. But, I'm involved in every event that we have, and, it's always going to be a part of my life, even if my career goes different directions. It's always something that I will make time for and will be involved in. I still get to be the spokesperson of the organization. So he grants me that lovely duty. And, we are always just trying to grow it in one way or another.
One of the things that I know I've had a lot of women tell me they struggle with, and I'm curious your perspective given what your experience and what you've done, but a lot of women are struggling with how do I balance my work, my life, my passion, my family, your husband, all of that. How have you kind of managed to balance your life? Although I'm not sure anybody's really, how have you managed to sort of balance keeping all those, taking care of your family, taking care of yourself,
yeah.
taking care of your job, taking care of your being the spokesperson for the A Million Thanks. How have you managed to do that?
Yeah, I truly think it is just a gift from God. I am not the most organized person in the world. there's so many times during, over the course of A Million Thanks where I felt like extra hours were added to my day to, make sure that I was able to, get everything done that I needed to. Of course, that isn't physically a possibility, but it felt like it. And so, I don't feel like I am any more extraordinary in the way I handle things. I try to kind of keep as much balance as possible, during the week. And so the weekends I can have a little bit more flexibility and where I'm devoting my time and what I'm doing and, time to have fun. But, I try to, just pray about it a lot and just, ask God to, show me the right direction and to, be able to dedicate my time in every area that's important and to just be the best steward of that as possible.
That's great. That's great. I know I encourage people to make sure that one of the things, and when I was with the women's groups last night, I said one of the things women need to remember to do is put yourself number one on your things to do list and take care of yourself first in many cases.
Absolutely.
But just like when you're on the airplane, they tell you to put your mask on first before you put your mask on somebody else. That
yep.
You have to find that balance in time and take time for yourself and do what you love, whether that be eat, pray, love, meditate, work out, work in your garden, but having that time for yourself is really critically important. So we're going to take a commercial break in just a minute, but I do want to have you, before we leave, spell your name and tell us how people can get in touch with you or get in touch with A Million Thanks. We'll take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back and we'll start talking about kind of your career in marketing and some other things as well. So thanks. We'll be right back.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
All right, back to Patty and her guest.
So this is Patty Grimm with Women Kicking Glass. We have Shauna Fleming with us, who started an incredible organization at 15 years old called A Million Thanks, which her campaign was to write a million letters to military people overseas. And she accomplished that goal in 6 months and 6 months, and presented the 1 millionth letter to President Bush at the White House, which is a pretty incredible. And the organization serves in three ways. It's writing letters to people that are in active military, to granting a wish for a veteran, and also funding scholarships. So quite an incredible organization that she started and still actively involved in today. And now you've started kind of a career in marketing, and you're working for Juice It Up, a chain of incredible raw juice and smoothies organization. So how did you decide to go into a career in marketing, and what did your career path look like?
Yeah, I think A Million Thanks really, really led me in that direction. I mean, I've always been more on the creative idea strategy side, and, you know, I think that was probably inborn, you know, as well. I went to Chapman University in Orange, and I studied PR and advertising, and I think that was largely due to the exposure that I had during A Million Thanks. You know, my dad sent out that initial press release, and after that, he taught me how to write press releases and how to pitch my own story and, you know, kind of get me to go from there, and we were always coming up with great ideas on how to, you know, further the organization and expand it and, you know, create different partnerships. And, you know, one of the largest ones that we did during my senior year of high school was with General Motors. And they had put about 3,600 A Million Thanks collection boxes in all of their dealerships for people to come in and write letters at the dealership. And that was during May, which was National Military Appreciation Month. And they collected a million letters just in that 1 month. So, you know, kind of facilitating those ideas. And, you know, now we do a partnership with Southwest Airlines every year over Veterans Weekend, where they hand out postcards to all of the passengers on flights over Veterans Day weekend. And so I always loved coming up with those ideas and contacting those companies and saying, hey, let's make a difference together. So I think that really kind of is what started me on the path to marketing. And then, of course, I went to school and got a formal education in it. Although marketing's ever changing, it's, you know, in my opinion, it's more experience than anything. And, you know, I did a couple internships here and there, and I decided that I wanted to get into marketing. Mm-hmm. And so after I ran A Million Thanks for a couple of years after college, and then I went to work for one of my dad's companies. He had a chain of restaurants in California, and so I worked in marketing there, and then decided to make a transition to a bit of a larger company, Juice It Up. And I've been here actually just a couple of months, so I'm really, really enjoying getting to kind of do marketing on a broader scale for such an incredible, you know, health and lifestyle brand that kind of fits along with, you know, my lifestyle. And so, you know, I love it. I love coming up with ideas and executing on them and getting people excited about things.
I'm kind of curious. I mean, given the kind of path you've had, both what you did with A Million Thanks when you started at age 15 and what you're doing now, were there ever times that people would say, "You're crazy, Shauna. Why are you doing this? You're never going to make this goal. You know, you're only 15 years old," or even now you're relatively, you know, a young professional woman. Did you ever have people that just kind of said, "You know, this just can't be done"? And if you did, what did you say, or how did you overcome that?
You know, I think when I was younger, there wasn't any of that because nobody wants to tell a 15-year-old you can't do it. you kind of look like a pretty big jerk if you did.
Yeah.
And so I always got support, whether it was genuine or not. I always got support from, you know, people that I met along the way. Mm-hmm. Even from the media, I pretty much got support all the way through, which, you know, was honestly a fantastic confidence builder in me.
Yeah.
Because I just assumed, that quote that is kind of, you know, floats around, she believed she could, so she did.
Yes.
I truly never thought in my mind that this would fail or that I wasn't going to be, that never even crossed my mind because I just thought I could do it. I didn't really think of the negatives, of the downsides, of the, you know, the roadblocks. And of course there were all those things that had to be dealt with, you know, when they came up. But, I think that's a testament to, just the people that I surrounded myself with, that kind of never let the idea cross my mind that this couldn't be done. And so that's why I decided to travel around and speak on the power of one, because mm-hmm. I felt that was such an important message that I received as a young person, that I wanted other young people to receive that message as well, that, you know, you can do this, surround yourself with the right people, and you can do whatever you want to do. And so many, you know, so many times I'd always say, I know it sounds cliche, but I'm living proof that, you know, you surround yourself with the right people and you believe you can, you will make it much further. And, you know, not every time is going to be a grand slam. There are definitely plenty of moments where things didn't work out how I wanted them. But, you know, overall, you just kind of, you have to keep pushing through and kind of remember that, you know, making the effort is better than doing nothing at all.
That's a great thing to say. You know, making the effort is better than doing nothing at all, or at least trying. And, you know, I know growing up in my career and my life, and even as a young kid, you know, my parents helped me believe that I could do anything I put my mind to. And if people would tell me something couldn't be done, my response was, well, just watch me. And at least I did, even if it wasn't perfect, at least I did something. I was striving to action or getting something accomplished, not necessarily striving for perfection, because perfection is unattainable.
Right. Yeah.
So striving for that excellence, and even if it isn't perfect, at least you can do something to make a difference. And I think that's a really strong lesson for everybody in the audience that's listening, of how we interact with our teammates, how we support other women, how we raise strong girls and talented boys, that you really allow them to think that they can do anything they put their mind to. And Gina Davis, the actress, has got a really big cause that she's working on around getting more women's roles in movies and TV and media, but also even young girls into films, because her saying is, if she can see it, she can be it. And so if you can see these strong, brave girls in cartoons and in movies and in the media, now we've got all these strong women songwriters and singers that are singing about, you know, this girl is on fire or confident or any of that out there, is really kind of ramping up this empowerment of girls. If she can see it, she can be it. I think what you said, if she believes in it, she can get it done. I think that's a really important
absolutely.
Message.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's your life like away from work if you're not working at the Juice It Up and you're not doing A Million Thanks? What is your life like?
It's always busy. My husband and I love to travel. We actually met on Semester at Sea, which is a study abroad program that takes place on a cruise ship that goes all the way around the world. And so he went to Penn State, I went to Chapman, and we met on this program. And so, when you kind of meet in those circumstances, you decide that, that can't ever be a part of your life that goes away. And so mm-hmm. we've made it, a point in our lives to be sure to travel as much as we can. So we're always planning, trips to new places. That's what we like to do, day in and day out. We live in Newport Beach, so, we love being outside and hanging out on the water and, just being outdoors is, obviously a great thing that we get to do here in Southern California. So, I'm all about balance. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to really work hard and to play hard as well. Mm-hmm. That's what we like to do. And, I will never say no to trying out something new.
That's a great attitude. So what are some of your favorite places? I'm just curious.
We love to hang out just a few blocks from where we live. We have made good friends with the owner of a bar restaurant down on the peninsula called Cruisers. We love to just spend time there. And we've met all the staff, and we'll just go and sit and hang out with them. And they actually just opened up a second location in Huntington Beach this week, so they're growing. And so we like to do that. We love taking little road trips, down to San Diego. That's one place that we've kind of always talked about potentially even living for a bit of time. So we love to do that. And we're big restaurant people. So, growing up in the food service industry and working in the food service industry, we always like trying new restaurants and trying new places. Balboa Island has a ton of fantastic places. So we're big foodies in our lives, which is, again, all about balance. So I work out at Theory Fitness, several times a week, so I can eat, I can eat on the weekends. So, you gotta have that balance.
Yeah, you gotta have some fun. And I like the fact that you talk about, a lot of people, I think about a vacation as being some big, I've gotta get in a plane, I've gotta pack, I've gotta go someplace and be there, and it's this big expensive thing. And we do a lot. I like a lot of little staycations, right? So, that literally last weekend was my brother-in-law's 50th birthday, and we live in Laguna Niguel, Dana Point area, and we literally went up to the Montage, which is what, 5 miles from my house?
Oh, yeah.
And stayed the weekend and just had a blast. And if you figured out the cost of going to a really nice place like that for a few days, an expensive place, but you're not paying for the airfare, the extra time. And of course, I left a few things at the hotel, so I called them and said, I left a few things in the bathroom, and they said, no problem, you can come pick it up. I said, I live about 5 minutes from there, so so it was an easy thing to do. Or just little trips for a weekend to Santa Barbara or San Diego or out to Palm Springs or something, is you just feel like you've had a little bit of a break without having to take a whole week.
My husband's birthday is next weekend, and we're going up to Santa Barbara, so that's the perfect example of that. You just got to get out and see a new place and try new things.
Yeah. So how can people participate or get involved in A Million Thanks?
Yeah, our website is a wealth of information. It is amillionthanks.org. If you Google A Million Thanks, or even if you Google my name, you'll be led back. The fantastic thing about A Million Thanks, being an organization that's 13 years old, is there's a lot of great resources that we have and media, clips and things that we've done. So you'll be sure to find it even if you just Google A Million Thanks. But our golf tournament information is right on the homepage of the website, and that's something that we'd love support in if anyone is local in the area and wants to kind of see the ins and the outs of Camp Pendleton. That's a great way. And then we also have sections on our website for all three of our missions. If you want to send a letter, if you want to look through all the wishes, if one is especially, tugging at your heartstrings, you can donate to that specific wish. Same with the scholarships. And, we're always looking at ways to just be involved in the community and, mm-hmm. and be involved with our partners. We were, born and raised in Orange County. So that's our backyard. That's our hub. And we love to not only have support from Orange County, but to be a support for Orange County. And so, our website is absolutely the best way to be involved and kind of to see what we have going on.
What's the range of some of the wishes that you grant? I mean, I imagine they're from small things to maybe possibly bigger things, but are there some that really stick out in your mind, a kind of wish that somebody could grant?
Yeah. So, you know, we have small things, big things. We have a woman, a veteran, who needs, she has a small business where she makes jewelry, and she doesn't have any branding or any packaging or anything designed for her company. And so that's what she's looking for, is just some branding support.
Okay.
We have things like an in-home walk-in shower for an injured veteran who just needs a little bit more accessibility. We recently just granted a wish for a veteran that is actually, as we speak, on vacation right now with his family. We have another veteran who has always wanted a husky dog for his whole life, and so we want to provide that for him. So there's a variety of different things and different price points. We do videos, so if you go on our website and any of the wishes that are already granted, you can click on that wish and watch a little highlight video of that individual and of the wish being granted. You know, it's a really great way to just kind of see it full circle.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just so heartwarming and so touching to see, you know, these individuals and what they've gone through, and, you know, to hear their stories and to kind of see what they're able to get in terms of support from so many Americans.
I can't even imagine that. I know there are a lot of people in our audience that are marketing people that could help the woman who needs branding and marketing for her company. So I'll reach out to a few of my friends, but I know there are people out there that would be willing to do something to help somebody like that. And the example of a husky, I can't even imagine being able to go and spend a little bit of money to go pick up a husky for this military person and then be able to go deliver the dog to them. I mean, I would be a basket case for weeks.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite wishes, I guess I'm not supposed to have favorites, but it was one that I specifically got to be a part of because this particular veteran is from Southern California, and his wish was an ultimate NASCAR experience. His injuries, he's actually deaf. And so it was, we got him in the suite, we got him down on the pits, you know, he got to be right up, you know, close and personal to see him changing the tires, and he got to go into winner's circle and be among all the festivities there. But it was, I just started crying because, you know, I made a joke, and I got to know him pretty well, and I made a joke. I said, well, you know, the good thing about being out here is we all have to wear earplugs, but you don't have to wear earplugs. And he can read lips, and he started laughing, and he goes, you know what? He goes, I can't hear it, but I can tell you, I can feel it.
He could feel the vibration.
He could feel it. And just seeing him say that, I mean, it was almost like he was experiencing it without any, you know, disability at all, that he was there like everybody else was feeling it. And that was especially touching for me.
Well, thanks. Well, this has been an absolutely incredible, enlightening, inspiring show. I admire you for what you do. What's your best piece of advice for our women who really want to go kick some glass, women and young girls that just want to go out there and just make their name in the world, or make a difference in the world more than make a name for themselves, but make a difference in the world? What's your best advice?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned it a lot of times throughout this, and you know, I'll say it again as my one piece of information is, it's all about the people you know and the people you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I've been able to accomplish, every job that I've gotten, every partnership that I've done with A Million Thanks, every person that I've met has always come from some sort of connection within the people that I've surrounded myself with. And so I cannot emphasize that enough. And I was blessed to have, you know, a great family to kind of start that off. And I don't want people to think, well, you know, I come from a broken family, or my family's not in the picture, or, you know, I don't have close friends. And what I say to that is, you know what, you go beyond that, and you get yourself involved in local, you know, meetups in your town, or you get involved in some sort of organization and get yourself on the board. You know, there's so many ways that we can interconnect with the people around us, you know, and I truly believe in the 6 degrees of separation. And my advice is to anyone who kind of doesn't know where to start, or, you know, is kind of wanting to get out there, is surround yourself with people and start making connections, and you'll be absolutely blown away by what you can accomplish through that.
Yeah, it's so important to surround yourself with the right people, have the right friends, the right family, the right people that bring you up. You may not be able to choose your family, but you can choose your friends and you can choose your partner in life and choose somebody that's going to support you in what you do and never tolerate people putting you down. So this has been an incredible show. One more time, Shauna, website, and then I'll say a few words and we'll be off kicking glass.
Perfect. It's amillionthanks.org.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for everything that you do. You're an incredible inspiration and amazing woman who started this passion at 15 years old and still continues on today. So this is Patty Grimm
thank
with
you.
Women Kicking Glass. I just have a couple of closing marks, and I'll follow up with you, Shauna, because I want to learn more about the golf tournament. But I want to thank everybody for listening today, and every week, Friday at 10 a.m., you can listen here and also find it on my Women Kicking Glass Facebook page. You can get in contact with me at pattygrimm@live.com, and that's PattyGrimm at live.com. You can always call me. You can call me on my phone, which is 949-304-0800. I do speeches, presentations, workshops, webinars for women and girls, a series of courses for them as well. You can reach out to me to book me for a conference or a speech. And just like PBS Radio, we are looking for sponsors. So if somebody out there is working for an organization that'd like to sponsor a great community service for business, please connect me with that. And with that, I say thanks for everybody. And let's go kick some glass and have a wonderful 4th of July weekend.
Thanks for listening to Women Kicking Glass, the only radio show on OC Talk Radio dedicated to empowering women to be the best they can be. Listen each week or download the podcast at patty.grimm.podbean.com. To reach out to Patty to schedule a speech webinar or to learn more about her leadership and team training, contact Patty at pattygrimm@live.com. For more information about her company and her books, have a kicking day.